Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a pair of teams sitting at 1-2. Who is more desperate, the Ravens or the Chiefs? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get to some baseball a little bit later in the show. Home runs all over the place last night. An epic collapse that's happening in both the Midwest and on the East Coast. We've got a lot to cover today, which is super fun. Our King of the Mountain project is back up. The 1984 San Francisco 49ers head-to-head against the 1983 LA Raiders, Pearl, one of the more interesting teams maybe of all time. But let's start with the Ravens and the Chiefs, teams that do not remind me at all of the 1983 Raiders, to be honest.
Huh.
Because they might have some characters, but I'm not sure about the grit, especially from the Ravens aspect of it. You know, I think you and I might agree that the Ravens are probably the more desperate team here, but they've been unable to close out games. And this is now a theme that's going back several years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even worried about the closeout. Like, they are built somehow. They built the exact wrong team. If you think about who they are as a team, the Baltimore Ravens won 2 Super Bowls this millennium. And really, the first one especially, they are a defensive team. Think of Baltimore Ravens, who's the first player who jumps to mind?
Ray Lewis.
Or Ed Reed, right.
Sure.
It's got to be defense. And now they're the worst defense in the league. They're ranked number 32. They have built this team to stop a Chiefs team from 5 years ago. They have all these first-round cornerbacks and first-round safeties and wide receivers. They're ready for a shootout with anyone. And all of a sudden, the top teams in the league totally went a different way. The Bills run the ball all the time. The Chiefs run the ball all the time. The Eagles, all they do is run the ball. So the Chiefs are the Ravens are left playing a 2021 version of football. And you see it, obviously, week one against Buffalo, classic shootout. They can't stop anybody. That's super fun to watch, but it's not going to win you a Super Bowl. You can't possibly be, Maggie, the worst defense in the NFL and win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
So I picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Or to be in the Super Bowl. I already regret it completely because you can see their defense is not Super Bowl worthy.
Okay, but can I just point back to last season where the defense was terrible to start the season and they did, like, you know, get tougher, stiffen up, if you will, as the season went on.
That might have been their level of competition. I mean, they were barely present for the first three quarters of that Bills game. I mean, the Bills did whatever they wanted on a snowy field.
Yeah, in the playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, I think when push comes to shove, I think you can run all. The point is, they are vulnerable against the run. They build up a pass defense. And on offense, they have all their first-round picks are wide receivers. They drafted more first-round wide receivers than anybody. Like, you should be drafting defensive players at this point. Like, I think they went too all-in to help Lamar Jackson. Because, like, yeah, you have Rashad Bateman, and you have Zay Flowers, and you have Mark Andrews, and Isaiah Likely, and all these weapons. What good is that if the other team is running for 5 yards a carry?
I guess, though, they did spend a first-round draft pick on Kyle Hamilton, and he's become an all-time safety. Like, here's the thing about that. We'd be screaming from the hilltops if they didn't get Lamar Jackson more help because everyone knew that offense needed to open up a little bit more. And then they signed Derrick Henry. To me, this is all about the Derrick Henry fumbles, and nobody could account for him fumbling 3 times, once in each game. He's gone 7 seasons of his career with 3 fumbles or fewer, and now he's got 3 in the first 3 games of the year. It's an anomaly. It's not going to continue that way.
But how are you going to win a football game if you cannot get the other team off the field under any circumstances?
Well, Justin Madubuike is going to come back at some point. So
he wasn't effective when he played. Their D-line is all hurt, but I think there's good reason to believe they're going to be the worst defense in the NFL.
I mean, it's funny so because I just can't get there with my brain that they're not going to figure out something on defense. Mm.
I mean, they're just, all their resources are on all these quarterbacks and stuff. Like, their O-line, their D-line, which is all hurt right now, is not really, you know, there's not a lot of resources in there anyway. They have Roquan Smith is supposed to be their stopper.
Yeah, where they traded two first-round picks for him. They gave him a huge contract.
Where was he against Detroit? The announcers are like, wait, is Roquan even playing tonight? They said that. I didn't even say that. He is a non-factor. They are soft as tissue paper on defense. Now, here's the thing. The Chiefs might not be able to do anything about it. Chiefs can't run on anybody. But we'll see. This is sort of the good test. If Baltimore can't stop Kansas City's run game, which has been awful for three games,
yeah,
then they're not going to stop anybody.
So the other thing, you do have Malachi Starks, who they also spent a first-round pick on.
Yeah, he's more of a coverish safety.
Yeah, but you're asking them to draft defensive players in the first round.
These guys are linemen. Oh. That's what I'm saying. Like they're built as a – look at how many cornerbacks they've taken over the last 10 years and safeties. Like they they're sort of geared up to stop a Tyreek Hill Chiefs attack.
Yeah, Travis Kelce.
The way they're built, this is actually Dan Orlovsky was going over this. They're built as a cover team, not a run-stopping team. But I think a lot of it has to do with Lamar. You said they had to get weapons for Lamar.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you have to get weapons for Lamar? He is a superior quarterback. That's one guy who doesn't need weapons. Like, he's going to make weapons. I think they underestimated how good a passer he was. He could have made a bunch of, like, third-round picks into All-Stars. They didn't need to spend all these first-round picks on him at all.
Well, that's maybe a little revisionist history because it's a little chicken or the egg. They had a different offensive coordinator. Greg Roman was their guy, who's now the offensive coordinator for the Chargers. They had him, and it was like Lamar was running. I felt like Lamar was also running so much, he was getting hurt. He couldn't finish seasons. You had Snoop Huntley starting a playoff game. So I think they felt like, and I can't blame them for this. You know, we're going to now dissect the Ravens, but I can't blame them for saying Lamar's running too much. He's taking too many hits. He's not able to finish the season. Meanwhile, we're giving him $250 million. He's got to have more weapons. So they put some investment on that side of the ball, changed offensive coordinators. I liked what they did.
Really?
To me, this is like they're a desperate team, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But again, they had that Bills game dead to right. They took it. That was an epic collapse. Epic. And
right.
Know a little something about collapses. We're talking about the Tigers and the Mets a little bit later on in the show. Collapses may be the theme of the show. But they collapsed in that game one, and then they're there in week three, and Derrick Henry fumbles again.
Yeah, but they probably weren't going to win that game anyway.
What, against the Bills?
No,
it
the
was
Lions.
Like 100-0.
The last one you talked about. Yeah, I mean, like the Lions.
I don't know. That it was a tie game in the fourth quarter.
But whoever had the ball last was winning that game, and the way the clock was setting up, the Lions were going to have it. Because
if Derrick Henry didn't fumble. There was about 8 minutes left to go, I think, in the game when he fumbled.
There was zero resistance to the Lions. I mean, zero. The Lions could have put up 60 if they wanted to. I'm surprised you're saying this. Like,
no, the Lions will put up 60 if they want to. They're not a team that ever takes their foot off the gas.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Well, no, but they were playing ball control against the Ravens, and once that Henry fumble happened, then it was just too late.
Yeah.
I don't think this is an accident. Even Cleveland ran the ball really well on Baltimore. I think there's something really, well, first of all, injuries are a big part of this. I think their defense is broken. This is going to be the big test on Sunday afternoon. Isaiah Pacheco couldn't find a hole if it was the size of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, yeah.
If he can run against this team, then boom, forget it. Baltimore's just total toast. And it might be because if you look at their depth chart, it's questionable. I just think that there's something really wrong. And you saw it, like, why are they winning in the playoffs? It's not, you know, you could say, oh, it's Lamar. But also, I think there are games where their defense has come up really small.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So obviously this is one of the huge games of the weekend. You've got Dallas welcoming in the Green Bay Packers and then the Ravens and the Chiefs. We're asking you who's more desperate. I mean, again, these Ravens, like, I guess I understand what you're saying about the defense. Totally understand it. And Ronnie Staley, their left tackle, is also questionable for this game. But I'm not panicking yet. That Bills game was an abomination for them. They lost by a point on the road. The Lions game, not great. It was a one-score game, ultimately, when all was said and done. Where my big question is not so much about this season, are they going to make the playoffs, stuff like that. That's going to be fine. It's just they have an issue with closing games. And that's the weird part to me because you have Derrick Henry. He's the ultimate closer. And it just doesn't feel like they're able to find that formula.
You got to, well, how do you close games?
Well, on defense,
you rush
also
the passer.
Run the ball is also a good way
well,
to
who's
close
games. Who are famous closers? Like Chris Jones is a closer. Nick Bosa was a closer. You need to put the other team in a pass first situation and destroy them. And I can't remember last time they scared you on defense. So I don't think of a, yeah, running back, I guess Derrick Henry could be a closer, but again, I don't think they win that Detroit game. I mean, I didn't see Detroit ever even have a moment where they couldn't have just, Jared Goff could do whatever he wanted. He was sitting back there alone. Did they, how many sacks
well,
did they
get? They ripped off some really big runs too. Remember yeah. the David Montgomery, he had two big ones.
Oh yeah, I mean, they ran at will, but too, then they, Jared Goff just, if they did blitz him, he just found somebody wide open every time. I think the Ravens are in big trouble. Like, even if they get to the playoffs, I expect their defense to just get run all over and they'll lose.
So here's the other question about the Ravens. It's the mental aspect, right? Because if you start the season, the collapse to Buffalo, who you've not been able to beat in the postseason, then you lose to the Lions. And if you lose to the Chiefs, which they're about a 2.5-point favorite, I think that's what it opened as. I don't know if that line moved a little bit. But if you lose to three of the best teams, teams that you're supposed to be peers with, right? Like, you're supposed to be on that level. It's so early in the season. I know athletes are have a way of compartmentalizing this stuff. But if you're a coaching staff, if you're anyone on that team, you come into the season and the only team you could beat in the first 4 weeks are the Browns?
Well, yeah, but I mean, they lost the Chiefs early last season. Is that really, does that last? Because, like, as I mentioned, their entire defense is out this week.
I'm just saying, yeah. you're getting these early tests with the best teams in the NFL. You're telling me that they're not built to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
If you can't beat any of the better teams in the first 4 weeks of the season, what does that say about you?
Well, I don't think it's a mental thing. I honestly think it's a roster thing at this point. Look, I don't know if they trade for help or something, you know. Usually, like, this is where somebody signs Za'Darius Smith, or they need something. They need some juice. This is not the Ravens I grew up with at all. This is not the Ravens that we know at all. I mean, right now, they are so far and away the worst defense. Like, it doesn't, I don't even think they're going to be able to catch up unless they got a lot of Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and Cleveland, which should help a lot. And I think the second half of last year, if you look at their opponents, maybe that helped. So I guess they'll even out, but I'm really worried about this team. And it's not about blowing leads. Like, yeah, if they're up against Buffalo, like, think about those drives the Bills had at the end. Like, there was just, like, it was so easy. It was looked like a pitch and catch with Josh Allen. There's something wrong. And I love Kyle Hamilton, but is there a single game where he hasn't walked off injured?
It's a problem. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. On the flip side, if you're the Chiefs, I mean, we can talk about Rashi Rice and Xavier Worthy. They're not miracle workers. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know. You don't think? I think Rashi Rice is legit.
Okay, fine. But, you know, do you have the other weapons that actually will make a defense have to respect everyone on your offense? Because Rashi Rice can be great, just like we see Malik Nabers is great. What happens? You put three guys on him. Kelsey,
yeah,
you don't even have to cover anymore.
But now you've discovered you have Tyquan Thornton, who's awesome, and you have Xavier Worthy coming back this week.
We'll see, right? How does he come back from that injury? I'm just saying that we're treating, you know, Rashi Rice coming back like he's Jerry Rice, you know?
Well, yeah, but you're combining him with Worthy. So you get Jonathan Taylor and Jerry Rice. And I guess that makes Kelsey Brent Jones, but I think it's the combo, and I think you have discovered something in Tyquan Thornton. Like, they should throw to that guy all the time.
Okay,
he's great on deep balls.
I know that the Chiefs had a really gaudy record last year, but they had all those guys last year, their offense stunk.
They didn't have Rice. Tore his ACL in week four. Worthy took a long time to learn the NFL, and Thornton wasn't there, so they didn't have any of those guys.
Well, Thornton is a guy who was on the scrap heap.
I'm just saying.
Juju Smith-Schuster, these guys were on the scrap heap.
Their offense tanked when Rice got hurt last year. So I think that it's one of those teams. Eventually, this might end up working out well if the Chiefs can just win enough games to stay in it. I think they've going to form this really good wide receiving core through this adversity, possibly. And listen, you're a Bills fan. You know that all of a sudden you're going to be like, wait, where did these Chiefs receivers come from?
The Chiefs have beaten my Bills every way you can possibly beat a team. One more painful from the next. I'll tell you this. If they can't run the ball, it's not going to matter.
Well, yeah, their O-line is the big concern, right? Like, they've had trouble cobbling together this unit. And I mean, we saw it fall apart against Tom Brady and the Bucs in the Super Bowl. We saw it fall apart completely last year. And then they're relying on a rookie. So this is, that to me is the pressure point on the Chiefs. Like, that's what I would worry about. Receivers, you always say you're like, receivers are generic person. Now you're saying they don't have enough weapons?
No, I'm not a receivers are a generic person. I'm just saying that you really need Rashee Rice to take this massive, like, not even a step up. He is a really good player. But you're acting like the Chiefs' offensive woes are really going to disappear overnight.
Mm.
And I don't know if I see it that way. And I'm scared to death of Xavier Worthy. No one can stop that guy. No one can catch him.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you can't run the ball, you become really predictable.
Worthy's probably playing with, like, a brace or something on his shoulder. And he's not big to start with. I feel like you could really take that guy out. I think Rashee Rice is the perfect antidote because he's a possession receiver.
Yeah.
They make him, he kind of takes Travis Kelce's role. He's a security blanket for Mahomes. I think they'll be a different team. The question is, can they survive? I got to be honest. I think this game is gigantic for both teams. I don't think it's a pressure on the Ravens. I mean, I think you cannot fall to 1-3 and feel good about yourselves. I think this is a massive game for both sides.
So who is more desperate, do you think, for the win?
I think Baltimore, because their schedule's probably a little bit harder moving forward, but honestly, I think both teams, whoever comes out of this at 1-3, I think we're all going to write them off, don't you? Or do you think that we can be more patient?
I think where I'd be more worried about the Chiefs, and I know they've got the history, and when you get to the playoffs, you know, obviously that's a different animal, but the Chargers look legit. They've already beaten every team in the division once.
Yeah,
the Ravens will most likely even still win the AFC North. Cincinnati is, if Burrow can't play, they're toast. Cleveland is Cleveland. And, you know, Pittsburgh is not really impressing me very much.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So to me, the Chiefs, like, they've proven they can win on the road, but I don't think there's a path to the division. And we're not even in October.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it'd be more of a wild card path. I mean, the Chargers tend to get massive waves of injuries, though. And we've already actually seen a little bit. That's the one thing about the Chargers. We've gotten excited about them in the past, and they have fallen apart. We'll see if Harbaugh can stop the chargering.
Yeah.
That is a really good point about the AFC North. I guess it's up to Aaron Rodgers to stop this team.
Good luck. He's taken a lot of hits so far this year. All right, the theme of the day is going to be collapses. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, because we're witnessing some pretty crazy stuff here with four games left to go in the Major League Baseball season. I'm not sure people live their lives. Maybe if it's not in your market, maybe you're not paying attention. What's going on in Detroit is historic. We've never seen a collapse like what's happening with the Tigers.
I'll never see it coming.
Good thing the Lions are off to a good start, or else people in Detroit might be losing it. They already are. They have to be.
Get the out of here, Detroit!
Forgot about the Pistons.
Okay. They'll be all right.
They're going to be fine.
They'll make the playoffs.
888-710-4ISN.
Unlike the Tigers.
I mean, everyone's hurt in the Eastern Conference. They should make the playoffs. 888-710-4476. So, who is more desperate for a win this weekend, the Ravens or the Chiefs? We got tons of college football for you today with Oregon traveling to Penn State. Going to be a whiteout. You got Alabama, Georgia this weekend. So lots of cool stuff. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Let's go. 888-710-4ISN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Interesting in the break discussion. Manny and EJ have not seen Forrest Gump.
No. I'm not surprised by that.
But they haven't seen really anything. I think there are other people their age who have seen some of these movies. Like, Manny's ever, EJ's never seen Godfather.
That's a choice, though. He doesn't like mob movies.
Yeah, but it's still like he's, I think his lack of certain movies is an anomaly even for his age. Like, there's some massive ones he hasn't seen.
That's two people on this side of the glass who haven't watched Godfather. It's
yeah.
too long.
It's too long.
I don't know. I just feel like it's hard to judge an entire generation who's never seen anything. Like, I don't
like
know.
Your daughter.
Have you ever seen a single movie? Have you seen five movies in your life?
Are you familiar with the movie Toy Story?
Yes, have you seen all four Toy Stories?
Oh, big time.
And he's a big fan of Saving Private Ryan, we found out.
Oh, I love Saving Private Ryan.
Heartwarming. That movie's long.
My favorite movie of all time is The Green Mile, which is like 3.5 hours.
I was going to say, okay, so it's not
these
attention
are all right around
thing.
The same year as right. Forrest Gump.
And some I'm the same guys.
Listen, I'm not
literally.
Toy Story was 1995.
And it's just a Tom Hanks.
Oh, he's also in that.
Funny enough, yes, exactly. Funny enough, Toy Story, one of my favorite movies, Tom Hanks. The Green Mile, one of my favorite movies, Tom Hanks. But I still haven't watched Forrest Gump. I want to get around to it. Where's the streaming?
They're all the same exact year. That's weird, man.
What year is that?
Forrest Gump was 94, Toy Story was 95, and Green Mile was right after Forrest Gump. Hmm.
By the way, there have been 37 Marvel Studios movies, so don't say I haven't seen
that's
any
That's true,
movies.
Yeah. EJ
but you're
just has a
sci-fi
yeah.
Fantasy movie guy, yeah.
And comic book.
No, you've seen a million movies.
Yeah, I've seen Star Wars. Yeah, I've seen all that other stuff.
But have you ever watched the SpongeBob SquarePants movie?
Mm. I saw the play SpongeBob SquarePants. It was terrible. Yeah,
wasn't that trash?
It was awful. Yeah, it was like one of the worst productions I've ever seen.
Well, you're wondering why are we talking about Forrest Gump, and Perloff believes
how did we get to Forrest Gump?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm always reverse engineering this.
Thank you.
What happened was we did a great debate yesterday, and we asked you which college football coach is most identifiable with one program. And
Head Coach Gump.
We had tons of responses. You guys were dynamite on this yesterday. It was super fun discussion. And Perloff won the poll. 40% over Bobby Bowden, Nick Saban, Lou Holtz, and we didn't have space for Joe Paterno because that's just the way Twitter works. Bear Bryant won, and Perloff thinks it's because of someone plays Bear Bryant for about 14 seconds in the movie Forrest Gump.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you're not a massive college football fan, you've seen Forrest Gump, and you saw Forrest Gump was an incredible kick returner for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
And Bear Bryant, who seems like, even in that movie, quite despicable.
yeah.
But also,
for the 13 seconds he's in it.
I said it was the hat, you know, that checkered hat. You know, the gear is very important, too, in that kind of debate. You have a look going. And I don't know. Bear Bryant is so iconic. I think everybody else, you know, Manny didn't get Joe Pa on the poll. That one would have probably been second because he was there for 80 years.
Probably would have been first.
Yeah, I mean, and Maggie, you kind of helped me out because you were like, well, there was another coach in a movie, and it was Nick Saban.
Yeah,
but he was
in The Blind Side.
He was in The Blind Side as the LSU coach.
Right.
Which made you realize, oh, Nick Saban had a much bigger life than just Alabama, which kind of gutted EJ's choice.
Well, I mean, and Miami. He has the Dolphins, which I know is kind of like a asterisk now or, you know, a footnote in history, but that did happen.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants everyone to forget it.
It's kind of a famous flame out.
Totally famous flame out, and also was always like kind of in some ways shadowed Saban just a hair because it was, oh, would he ever go back to the pros to prove that he could make up for the Miami debacle?
Well, there might be a lesson in that. We also mentioned no one chose Steve Spurrier in Florida, but I think Steve Spurrier's ill-fated time as the Washington head coach kind of ruined that a little bit. But you really? Also remember that.
That was like a blink, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same exact thing as Urban Meyer with the Jaguars. Saban was a disaster. Saban was, how long was he in Miami? 3 years?
I don't think it was that long. I think it was two.
Too. So I think that's a good lesson for Dan Lanning and all these other high-end college football coaches. Like, you might not want to jump to the NFL because those are some pretty good coaches and it didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, set Nick Saban up, though, for the next job. It didn't really set him up, but he was able to take that next job, which ended up being Alabama. Oh, the rest is history.
So you think it was all according to plan?
The long con.
No, I just think, I mean, Urban Meyer is a great example. You can't coach the two sports the same way.
Oh, Urban Meyer's is, that one is legacy defining, which is crazy considering how much success he had in college.
I don't know. I mean, I understand some of the moral ethical reasons it might be.
It's just more of, it's not even moral ethical. It's like memes. It's just like internet jokes.
Yeah, Spurrier was bad when he came back too. There were a lot of reports that he's spending more time on the golf course than in the coaching room.
Well, listen, when Congressional's right there, who's to blame him? 888-710-4ISN. We actually will get some golf chatter in later today. The Ryder Cup is kicking off on Friday, and Ann Liguori is going to join us in the final hour of the show. Meanwhile, we have a poll question up, and I'm curious, because Bogish is sitting here now. The Detroit Tigers' late season collapse, okay? This is happening, guys, like right in our faces. They had a 14-game lead in the AL Central on July 9th. They now have lost not only the division, they're a game back and they don't hold the tiebreaker. It has been epic. This is a team that spent 148 days in first place and have lost it now going 5-15 in September. And it's been a comedy of errors. It's like every single thing of this team went wrong all at the same time, Pearl. Like the manager's making weird decisions he never would make before. The pitching staff totally collapsed and no one can hit. And they played the Guardians, who have their number.
So
it's crazy.
They've had five games, three last week and two this week, to stop all of this head to head with the Guardians, and they've lost all five of them.
So yeah, four and eight against Cleveland
all year.
Even if
they win two of those games, this is a lot different.
They can't buy. I think they've won one game in the last 2 weeks. It is just considering the high of the high where they were, it's bananas. So we're asking you on X today, Maggie and Perloff, is this more funny or sad?
So I tried to get in on this action last night on the old betting app.
1-800.
I was like, yeah. So I heard that the Cleveland became the favorite before yesterday's game. So I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get Detroit at plus money. They can't keep losing. Then they lost.
Challenge accepted.
That bet's already gone. Now it's up. They're plus 425 to win this division. Like, that ain't good. Like,
no, they have to go play the Red Sox to finish out the season.
The odds are not good. I thought.
Definitely.
Did anyone else here think, oh, well, they can't. Like, they're going to have a little bump at the end here to put this to the end. Like, can't be this bad, really.
I mean, we're talking historic here.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be on these lists. You have a 14-game lead in the AL Central in July. I mean, you can go back to the Boston Massacre in 1978, Pearl. Philadelphia Phillies in 1964. You can go to the Red Sox in 2011. I think Tom Verducci wrote a book about that.
Even our Mets blew a 7-game lead in 2.5 weeks. It seemed mathematically impossible.
What year was that?
That was 2007.
Yeah.
That was also punctuated by the fact that they were closing down the old Shea Stadium. And instead of doing the farewell ceremony before the game, the final game of the year that they needed to win to get the playoffs, they did it after. Mets lose 8-1 to the Marlins, and then it was the saddest goodbye ceremony of all time.
Wait a minute. Something doesn't line up there in my timeline, because Citi Field opened in 2009.
Yeah, no, that was the second.
It was 2008. There was a second collapse. 2007 was not the fall.
I'm sorry, guys.
You don't understand what it's like to be a Mets fan, man.
I don't. Go Yankees.
It all mixes together.
I got my wires crossed there for a second.
Hey, the Yankees had a pretty good collapse in 2004, as I recall.
That was before time existed, so that doesn't really count.
But that one was at least like a very small amount of time. This Tigers thing has been like the long goodbye.
I think losing in baseball is the hardest fan experience because it's so slow.
Without a doubt.
But there is also
the slow death.
But there's also a suddenness to this, because they were also still up by 12 games at the end of August.
The Tigers. Yeah.
They've only won 5 games basically in the last month. So like it is
they play every day. Out,
but it's also been an absolute drop off the cliff in the last 3 weeks.
And someone who's become a little bit of an expert in collapses, because I root for the Jets and the Mets.
Yeah.
The hard thing too is to also watch that other team win every day.
Yes.
Because it's like, God, you guys can't lose once. Just lose a couple of times.
Right.
Give me a break. Like that's the thing that kills me during these situations.
Cleveland is 16-4 in September.
It's not a one person thing. You need a partner in this. The other guy has to win while you're losing, and they keep winning in Cleveland.
It's 2-tango.
There's a line in the movie, I think it's Fletch, which none of these people have obviously seen, where he's pretending to know that someone died. He goes, yeah, it was so sudden in the end. What do you mean he was sick for years? Well, at the very end, it was very sudden. I don't know if it was. This is quite sudden, folks.
Been horrible.
But August 25th, they had a 12.5 game lead. It's September 25th today. In a month, 12 games. That is pretty sudden still.
Is that bad?
Also, it's like whack-a-mole. I can see the fans of Detroit, if they already haven't now just like turned completely to the Lions. But it's like you're crashing out a little bit. Like, you want to blame the front office. They didn't do anything at the deadline. Then you blame the manager. He's making stupid decisions. Then it's the pitching staff. Then it's guys can't hit. Then it's the fielding. It's everything every night.
Yeah. The only thing that's saving them from the outside is that there's no reason to enjoy this, like from the outsiders, right? Like they're not a hated team.
It's not the Mets with a $300 million payroll.
Right. Like, can you name more than five Tigers? Mm.
They've got cool names on them.
They do. So unless you want to hate on Spencer Torkelson, you don't have a target here. This is not the Red Sox. It's not the Yankees. It's not the Dodgers. It's not payroll. There's not an A-Rod team. There's nobody to direct any sarcasm at. There's nothing. You got nothing here.
And in fact, it's the opposite. I think they've been one of the best stories in baseball. They were one of the best stories last year. And I think the start they had to the season was one of the best stories in baseball. And to see this now turn to this is the opposite. It's not even that they're you're agnostic to them. I think a lot of people were rooting for the Tigers this season if you're not in the Central.
Maybe not A.J. Hinch if you still are.
Yeah, maybe.
He kind of seemed like a bystander in that whole Astros garbage can banging scandal, which he was the manager, but he just kind of looked toothless.
Yeah. Are Whitaker and Trammell still there?
Yeah.
Are they up the, sure. up the middle? That is a duo.
That's one of their problems. They're a little old. A little slow up the middle.
Manny Ordonez is still DH.
Oh, I love that guy.
Miguel Cabrera is having a wonderful season, I've heard.
Manny's like, where's Miguel Cabrera? Never seeing that guy ever again.
He's probably somewhere in Caracas.
But that's also your old Tiger. Pearl gave you guys from the early 80s. You went to 3 weeks ago.
That is why him and where's Dontrelle Willis?
Yeah.
Prince Fielder.
He's comfortably in a TV studio.
Prince Fielder.
Hey, get this. What's the name? Is still playing. Scherzer and Verlander.
That's true.
Yeah.
How about that?
All-time Tigers.
They are. And they're not bad. I mean, Scherzer's going to be in the playoffs with the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Verlander's had a great second half, right?
Yeah.
Jim Leland really has to get the guys together.
Get him out of the Marlboro factory and see if he can get over there.
Wait, he's not Sparky.
All right, folks, what do you have?
Headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME.
What about Junior?
And get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
What about Shiloh?
He doesn't deserve it, but congrats to Pearl and Schwarbs and their Phillies.
Wind up in the 1-0. And it's swung on, rocketed to right, high and deep, and on its way into the second deck. No doubter from Schwarber, his second of the night. Kyle Schwarber with home run number 56.
Scott Fransky, Phil's Radio. Yes, two homers last night. 56 for the season now for Kyle Schwarber. He and his teammates went deep a team record 8 times, 3 of them from Edmundo Sosa in an 11-1 rout of the Marlins. Philly clinches a first-round bye with the win.
But I still... Sosa?
I still can't sell you a Kyle Schwarber MVP. I tried to convince Bogus for some unknown reason in the newsroom.
No,
to...
I'm with you, except for the fact that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't understand why voters don't want to just hand it to somebody new other than Shohei. He wins every year, and he's going to win every year.
Did you see him strike out the side the other day?
Who, Kyle Schwarber?
No, maybe then he could win the MVP.
But I think it's because of, Schwarber's hitting 230 and Shohei's hitting 330. Is that really still a big deal?
I think it matters a little bit. It's just, yesterday off air, the conversation is Shohei is the default winner and he didn't do anything to make him not win it this year.
Well, it's a little like Judge. Do you have to, how much better do you have to be for Cal Raleigh to come and take the crown from Judge?
Yeah.
He has more home runs, but that's the only statistical category he leads him in.
I would actually give it, I think there's a stronger argument for Raleigh than Schwarber.
Definitely, because Raleigh plays catcher every day.
Yeah, and
Judge DH'd a third of the season.
And I just think, the Phillies have been in the playoffs a lot. I think what's happening in Seattle, I think Raleigh definitely is, those odds are a lot closer. He has a better chance. I would be disappointed if Judge won. He's amazing. But just switch up the MVPs. Give us some new blood here.
Raleigh, by the way, 2 more homers last night. So he is on 60. The Mariners beat the Rockies 9-2 to clinch the AL West for the first time since 2001.
Wow.
The Dodgers, meanwhile, have almost clinched the NL West.
One ball, 2-strike pitch to Tommy Edman. Here it is. He swings and lines it into center base.
That's the Dodgers.
Freeman scores, and the Dodgers take a 5-4 lead. Tommy Edman, 2 outs, 2 strikes, comes up clutch and gets Freeman home.
Tim Nevritt, Dodgers Radio, LA, a 5-4 win in 11 in Arizona, dropping their magic number for the division down to 1 because the Padres lost to the Brewers in the afternoon.
Call me Dodger EJ and Pirate EJ. for the next day.
Yeah, and thankfully they both won last night. So the Mets losing at Wrigley do not lose any ground in the NL wildcard chase. Still a game up on those Reds and Diamondbacks. Thursday night football gives us the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Seattle getting back corner Devin Witherspoon and safety Julian Love for this one. But running back Zach Charbonnet is questionable with a toe injury. The College Football Playoff Executive Committee met again yesterday without making a decision on expanding the playoff for next season. December 1st remains the deadline to go to 16 teams or stay at 12. And while Manny keeps counting down to preseason basketball, preseason hockey is already here.
The Panthers could have up to 12 players, roughly 12.
Well, we got a goal and a fight at the same time. A shot went in from the point. Harper and Smith have dropped the gloves simultaneously.
Yeah, he's not kidding. This shot from the blue line basically went between these two guys as they were squaring up to fight. And the celebration, there's four guys celebrating the goal while the fifth guy's getting punched in the face off to their right.
Where was this?
This was the Panthers and Hurricanes game last night.
I got to watch that.
Yay for hockey. Let's go.
Manny Puck's back, baby.
You're going to go watch the whole game? Get it.
Oh, no, I'm just going to watch this a little bit. I'm not going to. Panthers, Canes, I'm good, man. Thank you very much.
Preseason.
Appreciate you, Gary Bettman. I'm good. Appreciate
excuse
your hard work.
Me, I just have to get this goal around you guys fighting.
Yeah.
That's like even Slapshot couldn't have come up with something like that. Folks, thank you so much. Coming up, lots more to do, including which 0-3 NFL team most desperately needs to get off the schneid, and Mike Tomlin with quite a comment on the Minnesota Vikings quarterback situation. Those two teams, Vikings Steelers, are going to square off in Dublin Sunday morning. It's M&P.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Quickly, we get our first European game this weekend. It's going to be in Dublin, Pearl. It's the Minnesota Vikings and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And sometimes I don't understand Mike Tomlin. Well, because he speaks in code. Like, he says, you know, sometimes his delivery, not code, but like sometimes his delivery, it's just unique. But what I'm saying I don't understand him is that sometimes he'll give you absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. You will not, you could say, coach, what time is it? He will not tell you. And then other times he'll be like kind of surprisingly candid.
Mm.
And yesterday seemed like one of the times when he was surprisingly candid. So here's Mike Tomlin saying that Carson Wentz, who's the backup quarterback for J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings, it's a good thing that he's now starting for Minnesota.
He's a Grizzly veteran. Oftentimes, particularly when you have a young, inexperienced quarterback, there's some big-time benefits of playing with a vet backup. The veteran guy oftentimes does the intangible components of the job very well. They communicate and articulate the schematics and the plan to others. They uplift guys and get people lined up. They oftentimes are able to carry more schematic responsibility and so forth at the line of scrimmage.
Okay, it's basically saying that the team is better with Carson Wentz is kind of what I'm getting there. Here's more from Tomlin. And just an example of last year they were playing the Colts, and he told the team, let's not hurt Anthony Richardson, the starting quarterback, because Jazzy Joe Flacco's behind him.
I don't necessarily view it as a negative thing for the Minnesota Vikings, at least in the short term, that Carson is playing for him. We were in a similar situation a year ago. We were playing in Indianapolis, man, and I commented to the guys that, you know, keep Richardson upright. Don't put Flacco in the game. And, you know, Flacco ended up in the game. And I think that's oftentimes some of the things that you can run into when you run into a veteran guy, at least from a short-term perspective. And
Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I mean, spot the lie.
Yeah, it's funny that the team was not able to execute that order of keeping Anthony Richardson upright. They knocked him out of the game. Joe Flacco came in. Indictment on Richardson there, big time. And this is what I'm saying. The coach was surprisingly candid yesterday, and I feel like with Tomlin, you're never, ever sure what you're going to get.
Well, the truth is, Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin, all the whatever quarterback is on the field is the, you know, they're going to praise him. Of course, he's going to say this is the best situation. Because that's like a coach thing, right? Like, say someone's going to say playing Jake Browning, they're going to be like, "Well, Jake Browning, like he is so good." It's like Lou Holtz. Like, you always say the opponent is awesome coming into the game. But that being said, we know that teams are playing the young guy, even though he's not better. Like, it's developmental. Like, there's no way that J.J. McCarthy, well, I'm not going to say no way, but it doesn't seem like J.J. McCarthy is a win-now play. He's a long-term play for the Vikings, right?
Well, that's part of the, you know, gamble, I think, that the Vikings were taking this year because they obviously invested this high pick in J.J. McCarthy, but Aaron Rodgers wanted to be on the team. You know, he was kind of waiting around. It's funny that these two teams are playing each other because at one point it was like, well, who's going to get Rodgers? They could have kept Sam Darnold. I mean, they could have kept going with the more veteran guy, and they made a conscious decision to pivot.
Yeah, and it's not like they were using Carson Wentz as a backup option for Aaron Rodgers. They just brought him in at the end of the offseason, almost on a flyer. And then he looked pretty good last week. I mean, he looked like Carson Wentz. He was totally fine.
Well, the defense had two pick sixes, which really helped.
Yeah, but I mean, he was doing whatever he wanted. He was totally fine. And by the way, like, he's a very, very high-end backup, so they'll be fine. I totally think Tyrod Taylor, by the way, this is one. I think he gives the Jets a better chance of winning because he's seen everything. Like, he's been in the league for 10 years. I think that knowledge is such an important thing for a quarterback. But on the other hand, as Tomlin said, it's short-term. Like, eventually that'll all kind of fold. I don't think that the Vikings are winning a Super Bowl with Carson Wentz. But would that be amazing? After Carson Wentz is a second-year player, got hurt and let Nick Foles win a Super Bowl in Philly. What if Carson Wentz replaced J.J. McCarthy
and won a Super Bowl?
I mean, that's a little hard to believe. But he was, by the way, 14 for 20, 173, two touchdowns and no picks. Man, they would take that anytime from a backup. Incredible.
Yeah, 888-710-4ISN. Kind of an indictment on McCarthy, too. And again, this was certainly a risk for the Vikings. And I think through the first three quarters of that opening game against Chicago, you were wondering, like, wow, how are the veterans going to respond if J.J. McCarthy stinks? And he looked terrible for the first three quarters, and then he looked great in the fourth quarter. Next game, not so awesome, but he ends up getting hurt, and now here we are with Carson Wentz. It was a big, big risk. And I know everyone thinks Kevin O'Connell could just, you know, roll out of bed and make anybody a great quarterback. Mm. But this is a team that won 14 games last year, is ready to win. And the Lions look good. We'll see what happens with the Packers this weekend against Dallas. It was a gigantic risk. And it doesn't look like Mike Tomlin is that broken up that J.J. McCarthy is out of the game.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You're never going to play McCarthy? Like, you have to play him at some point. You have to see what your investment is. Otherwise, you have no idea. You're just going to let him sit there like Jordan Love for 4 years? He's not sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. So I think they had to take this risk. Like, if you're a team builder and you got a guy in the first round, you have to find out before he reaches his second contract. So we all understood that. Now, I have a question for you. If Sam Darnold just kills it in Seattle, is that going to be the missed opportunity? Is Sam Darnold going to be a Saquon Barkley to the Giants? I mean, I don't think Sam Darnold, he looked amazing last week. That was against New Orleans. I don't think he's going to play like that every week. But I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think they're going to be looking at Rodgers. I think they're going to be looking at Darnold out in Seattle and wondering, man, should we have just kept this guy? He threw 35 touchdowns and won 14 games here last year.
Yeah, and Darnold is the kind of guy who you could pay him, you know, $30 million or whatever, and he can be a starter or he could be a backup. Like, I don't think if J.J. McCarthy, if you did want to go to McCarthy, much like the Giants went away from Russell Wilson and went to Dart, a little different. Russell Wilson's a Hall of Fame player who won a Super Bowl. You could interchange those two guys, in my opinion.
Darnold and McCarthy?
Yeah. Like, you.
$30 million, probably not, though.
Well, I mean, you're not paying McCarthy anything.
But you're paying Russ Wilson like $1.50.
I don't know. It was like, what, $12 million, something like that?
Russ got $12 million?
Yeah. It's, again.
Yes, he did.
For the quarterback what? Position,
bad
we're talking
organizations
about
organizations
six. Dak's getting 60. Okay, so like, would I pay half of that for Sam Darnold and know at any time I can just pull the ripcord and go back to McCarthy? I think I would have done it. Now, I didn't love how Sam Darnold ended the season, but to be honest, like,
wow,
the defense also has to look at themselves in the mirror because they were not good in those last two games.
What was the O-line that imploded? Right, that's what Kevin O'Connell said. Like, we're putting every resource we have into this O-line in the offseason. And that's been sort of hot and cold because they haven't been running the ball, at least in the first two games. They didn't run the ball like they expected to. And then we'll see. The Vikings are an interesting team. They, even if they win, like, we're not going to trust them in the postseason. That's what this J.J. McCarthy thing is about. Like, we need a quarterback who can finally win in the postseason. And I think they think, well, J.J. McCarthy did it in college. He can win at the highest level. So I understand the experiment. I know what you're saying. Like, it was a risk, but it's one they had to take. I would just laugh so hard if Carson Wentz was awesome there. It would crack me up.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that Aaron Rodgers is, like, not a bigger deal this year. And he's been getting, you know, the first week against the Jets, the four touchdowns. But now you look at it, no offense, EJ, because I know the Jets took the Bucks and gave them all they could handle. But that's looking a little bit less impressive. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the Jets.
Definitely.
But it's
Mike
like not.
T is the man.
It's not looking great. And you know he's like breaking all these records. It was past Brett Favre in terms of all time touchdown list, and he's going to be breaking these records. And it just doesn't feel like it's landing. It just doesn't seem like anyone necessarily cares.
Is it Favre fatigue or is it record fatigue in the NFL? I think that's a big question. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both.
Rodgers fatigue.
I think there's some of that. Yeah, I think if the records were bigger, maybe we care more, but. I think that there's a lot that goes in with the guy. So it's like, wake me up when he really does something
right,
cool.
Right.
If he wins a Super Bowl, wins a playoff game, or goes into Baltimore and beats the Ravens, then I think you'll get that. I think for now, it's a little. Yeah. We've had so much Rodgers.
Wake
last
me up if
years.
He wins a Super Bowl?
Yeah,
I think we'll notice if Aaron Rodgers wins a Super Bowl.
No, but I mean, we had five. Yeah. That's the only thing EJ's saying that could add to his legacy in a real way.
Oh,
I just think that, like, they had five turnovers against the Patriots, and they won that game by one score.
I disagree, by the way. I think Rodgers has like a Favre, like, if he gets to the playoffs, I think that'll help him. It'll be better than the Jets.
Just the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. Legacy-wise, it's a big deal. Montana got aided in that situation.
888-710-4ISN. Coming up, Micah Parsons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.